Chapter 16.
The sun was just peeking over the horizon. My breath froze on my beard. I wearily boarded the temp labour bus. "Hey, Jesse." Ben sat down next to me and reached out his huge calloused hand, as he did every morning. He could have crushed my hand in his, but it was in his firm handshake that I always rediscovered his gentleness. I looked at this great bear of a man and smiled, genuinely glad to see him. The bitter cold didn't seem to affect him. I remembered why when he pulled a silver hip flask from his coat pocket. He offered it to me first. I took a long swig and coughed as I handed it back to him. "Wild turkey," he smiled. "I like a little nip in the morning to get me going." Actually, Ben liked little nips throughout the day to keep him going. We were parked next to the diner. From where I sat, I could see the restaurant window. Annie, the waitress, who had my complete attention, was pouring coffee and joking with the men at the counter. A powerful longing pulled on me, almost drawing tears. "How'd you like a piece of her?" a guy in the seat in front of us asked his friend. Ben watched me cringe. "Hey, shut up," Ben told him. The man looked over the top of his seat to us. "What's it to you?" "That's my sister you're talking about," Ben glared. "Oh, sorry," the guy said. He looked at me and squinted. "Don't I know you from somewhere?" "You ever work in Texas?" I asked him. He shook his head. "Then you don't know me," I told him. The bus lurched into motion. We were headed out to a plant in Tonawanda. The agency promised us a steady gig with the possibility of permanent hire. Ben and I rode in comfortable silence. When the noise level on the bus became boisterous, I whispered to him, "Is Annie really your sister?" He smiled and winked. "Did you really work in Texas?" he asked me. I smiled and winked back. As we approached the plant, I saw picket lines barricading the entrance. Then I understood. We were hired to break a strike. "Scabs!" The shout went up the moment we got off the bus. It was hard to catch my breath in the frigid air. Ben stood at my side. "I don't want any part of this," he said. I heard a woman's voice shouting through a bullhorn. "We're going to hold the line. We're not going to let a single scab through. I'm ready to do whatever I have to do to defend our jobs and our union. Are you?" The union men and women roared their agreement. The cops flipped the visors down on their riot helmets and held their clubs horizontally across their chest. Those billy clubs were almost as thick and long as baseball bats. The cops were ready to attack in order to bring us in as scabs. Another temp bus arrived. The men who got off that bus gravitated towards us. We formed a group of 60 men. I looked around at the guys I rode in with. The oldest of the men announced loudly, "The devil can't buy my soul." "Well, I need a job, goddammit. I got a family to feed," someone yelled behind me. "I'm no scab," Ben shouted. "I never crossed a picket line in my life, and I never will. And I've got no respect for any man who does." He took his UAW card out of his wallet and held it aloft so picketers could see. Several of the other men pulled out their union cards and held them up proudly too. I clenched my fist and pumped the air. The strikers cheered us. Less than a dozen of the temp labourers agreed to be escorted by police into the plant. Most of the guys got on the bus again and asked the driver to take us back to the agency. I listened to the men talk to each other as we rode. This bicentennial year was supposed to be filled with patriotism, but the guys were sounding more and more like Teresa used to talk. "There's more hard times coming, mark my words." "Yeah, but you can bet the rich are still getting richer." "It wasn't just Nixon, they're all a bunch of crooks. This new peanut man in the White House isn't going to change anything." They talked about the layoffs that abruptly altered their lives. Harrison, Chevrolet, Anaconda. 15 years seniority, 20 years, 30 years. "I gave Chevy my whole life," Ben told me. When I got laid off, I figured it was a vacation. But to tell you the truth, I'm scared shitless that I'm never going back. My whole life's in that plan, you know what I mean? I nodded. Ben nudged me. We'll still get paid for the last week. Let's go cash our checks at the bar and have a drink. I shook my head. Nah, I'd better go home. Jesus, Jesse, you always got something to do. You're gonna have a drink with me, and that's that. Unless you think you're too good for me. I sighed. Just one drink. Ben smiled and thumped my thigh with his gloved hand. Someone played Stand By Your Man on the bar jukebox. I was lost in my own past as Ben talked to me about growing up without his father. How about you, Jesse? He asked. Did you grow up with your dad around? I nodded. Were you close to him? I shook my head. No. Why not? I shrugged. Oh, it's a long story. I don't really like to talk about it. Where'd you grow up? He asked, signalling the waitress for another round. Different places. I worried that I couldn't keep this evasion up for a third round. The waitress brought two shots and two beers. Ben smiled warmly at her. Thank you, darling. Ben turned his attention back to me. You know, I'm curious about you. I tensed. I told my wife about you. I told her there's this guy I really like. Ben stopped and held up one hand. Don't get me wrong. I waved away his momentary fear that I might think he was sexually attracted to me. His speech was a little slurred. I told her that every time I tried to get to know this guy, he clams up. You know what my wife said? She says I'm the same way with her. She says that's what she's always complaining about. Ben leaned forward. Are you in trouble, Jesse? Because if you are, you can tell me. I'm not much in life, but I'm a good mechanic and a good friend. All my buddies worked at Chevy with me. I miss those guys. I nodded, thinking about my old friends. Are you running from the law? He asked me. Because if you are, I understand. His voice dropped. I was in jail. 2 years. Suddenly something changed in Ben. His whole body settled into a stillness that frightened me, like the smooth surface of a lake before a storm. I felt the turbulence churning beneath his surface. Ben's hurt was presenting itself. I waited. Pain emerges at its own pace. I sat in silence, my heart pounding. Maybe this was just my imagination, or the drama that Wild Turkey ushers in. But when I looked at Ben, I knew I wasn't wrong. The storm was closing in, and it was too late to run. Ben opened his wallet and pulled out two pictures. Did I ever show you my wife and daughter? I saw an exquisitely warm, Down syndrome smile on his daughter's face. I love that child. His eyes filled with tears. She's taught me a lot. I wanted to ask him what he's learned, but I was still emotionally barricading myself from Ben. He wanted so much to know me, and I couldn't let him. What if I trusted him and I was wrong? Ben flipped a small old photo on the table in front of me. I studied it and laughed. Is that you? He nodded without smiling. I looked at the young Ben, a skinny kid with huge hands, slicked back hair, and a beat-up leather jacket. You were a greaser? He nodded again. Nice bike. I pointed to the Harley in the photo. He smiled. I could feel the pressure building. When I was young, Ben said, I thought I was a tough guy. Funny how much men express in a few flat words. It was a butcher's way too, of revealing the heart. When I got busted for stealing a car, you ever been arrested, Jesse? I took a deep breath and shook my head no. Ben nodded. I'd been in reform school a couple of times. I was a wild kid. I broke my poor mother's heart. Ben tossed back another shot. The waitress caught my eye. Another round? I shook my head slightly. I was a tough guy. You think jail's nothing? Those guys can't break me. I leaned towards him. I already knew. And then suddenly it was there, in his eyes, all of his shame. His eyes filled with water. I wanted for the tears to drip down his cheeks, but they didn't. I wanted to touch him, to lay my hand on his arm. But I looked around at the guys we worked with every day and knew I couldn't. I leaned closer to Ben. He looked me in the eyes. In silence, without words, his eyes told me what had happened to him in prison. I didn't look away. Instead, I let him see himself in my own mirror. He saw his reflection in a woman's eyes. I never told anyone, Ben said, as though our conversation had been out loud. In his own way, he had done what I had never been able to do, reveal the humiliation. And I wanted to trust him, to tell him everything, but I was afraid. Yet I couldn't leave him alone inside himself. You know why I like you so much, Ben? His eyes were eager as a child's for the answer. I like you because you're as gentle as you are strong. Ben blushed and dropped his eyes. There's something about you, Ben, that's good and that I trust. And I'm wondering, how did you turn out this way? How did you get from all your hurt to the man you are now? What changed for you? What decisions did you make? The great bear smiled shyly. This was the intimacy he had wanted, the attention he needed. He leaned closer. When I got out on parole, I went to work at a gas station. The mechanic there, Frank, that guy changed my life. Ben's voice dropped low. Frank cared about me. He taught me to be a mechanic. He taught me about a lot of things, but there's one thing he told me I'll never forget. One day I was going to run away. There was this guy who was always fucking with me at the garage, and I couldn't fight him because I'd go back to the joint if I did. It was making me crazy. I was all upset inside, you know? I nodded. I wanted to kill that guy and then take off. Frank knew. He pushed me up against the garage wall and he was yelling at me, trying to get through. Ben laughed. You have to know what a quiet guy he was to appreciate him yelling at me like that. I told him I had to prove I was a man. He took a swig of beer. I smiled at the butchness in his story. What happened? I'll never forget what Frank told me. He said, "You're already a man. You don't have to prove that. You just have to prove what kind of a man you want to be." My eyes filled with tears. Ben's voice was as intimate as his smile. "What about you, Jesse? What made you the way you are? What's your life been about?" In a world with any justice, I would have poured out my life story to him. I would have given him back in kind the trust he'd shown me. But I was afraid, and so I betrayed him. "There's not much to tell," I said. He blinked in disbelief. I wanted him to let it go, but he wouldn't. He was brave enough to bloody his head against my brick wall again. "Jesse," he whispered, "tell me something about you." I was frozen with fear, unable to collect my thoughts enough to invent a story that even appeared to reveal something about me. "There's nothing to tell," I told him. I was closed and protected. He was left naked. The warmth drained from his face and anger rose to replace it. He was too gentle a man to lash out at me. Like a butch, he kept it inside. I stood up. "I'd better get going," I said. He nodded and stared at his beer bottle. I let my hand rest for a moment on his shoulder. He would not accept the comfort or look at me. I wanted to say, "Ben, I'm so sorry I hurt you. I only did it because I was scared. I didn't know men could hurt the way I do. Please, let me back inside." But of course, I didn't. Instead, I say, "See you Monday." The loneliness became more and more unbearable. I ached to be touched. I feared I was disappearing, and I'd cease to exist if someone didn't touch me. One woman in particular turned my head every morning, Annie, the waitress at the coffee shop near my job. When she brought me coffee, it seemed she didn't notice me, but then she'd catch my eye and turn away from me, wrapping my attention around her like a shawl. She was as tough as a gangster. God, I liked Annie. She treated every customer like a trick. She worked them for a tip and didn't let them drop till they left it. I sat at the counter and watched Annie relax with her co-worker, Francis. The men in the restaurant seemed to think the women's attention only existed for them. If they had seen how intimate the women were with each other, the men might have felt jealous. But they didn't notice. I did. Annie saw me at the counter. "Hey, sweetheart, what's shaking this morning?" I laughed. "How are you, Annie?" "Finer than a frog's hair quartered, darling. What you having?" "Coffee and eggs over easy." "You got it," she said over her shoulder as she swung away from me. Her body demanded I pay attention. Francis and Annie showed each other their kids' school photos while they waited for orders from the grill. "Can I see?" I asked Annie as she brought me my eggs. She eyed me warily as she handed me the photo. "Don't see why not." Four rows of sweet children's faces looked back at me. "Which one?" I asked. Annie wiped her hands on her apron and pointed out her daughter. "God, she's great," I told her. "She's got your eyes, smart and angry at the same time." "Where do you see that?" Annie demanded as she snatched the photo from my hand. She stormed off. A moment later, she brought my coffee and slammed it down so hard it sloshed over the rim of the cup. Then she lifted it up, wiped the counter, and spilled it again. "Next time you want to read a book, go to the goddamn library," she spun on her heel. I put down a tip, paid the cashier, and left. The next day, I brought her a single flower. "I'm sorry I got personal," I told her. "Oh, well, I don't mind you getting personal, darling. Just take your damn sweet time about it, okay?" "Agreed," I agreed. "What kind of flower is this, anyway?" I smiled. "A mum for a mum." She frowned. "Oh, I don't get it." Annie's body language was very reserved with me, but as soon as Annie and Francis got together, she loosened up. They whispered. Francis smelled the flower and put her hand over her heart. Annie smacked Francis on the shoulder. I wanted to spend time with Annie when she wasn't working. It was no secret now. Annie brought me a white paper bag. "What's this?" I asked. She shrugged. "Coffee and a cherry Danish." I was confused. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for no flower either. "It's on the house," she shot back. "It's fresh. The Danish is fresh." I smiled, left a tip, and paid the cashier for my breakfast. Then I came back to the counter and tried to get Annie's attention. She made me wait. "What do you forget?" she asked. "I wanted to know if you..." I hesitated. It could be a big mistake to go out with someone who knew my co-workers. She could make real trouble for me if she found out. I'd have to quit my job. But I was desperately lonely. "If I'd what?" She sounded suspicious. "If you'd want to go out with me sometime." Annie put both her hands on her hips and looked me up and down several times. "Ask me again sometime." Somehow I thought that was a good sign. Our serious flirtation began the next morning. It was fun. It felt good. It reminded me of the old days between femmes and butchers, but this was not between women. At least that's not how the world around us saw it. And I reminded myself over and over again that's not how Annie saw it. The amazing part was that this courtship dance could take place in public and everyone, co-workers and strangers alike, encouraged and approved. Meanwhile, Anita Bryant was thumping the Bible in a well-publicised campaign to overturn a simple gay rights ordinance. I wondered how human affection could be judged so differently. When I finally got the nerve to ask Annie out again, she wiped her hands on her apron and answered, "Sure, I guess. Why not?" Friday night, I knocked on her door. It took a long time for her to answer. I heard her yelling something. I got a funny feeling in the pit of my stomach. Annie only opened the door part way. "Ah," she started. I could see a child wrapped round her legs. "It's okay," I interrupted. She wanted to cancel. I tried to conceal my disappointment. "Maybe another time." "Wait." She opened the door all the way. "I mean, if you want to come in, I could make you some coffee or something." I did want to come in. The three of us stood awkwardly in her living room. My babysitter, well, it's my sister's kid actually, she got sick. So I have Kathy home tonight and she's running a little fever. I raised my hand to stop her. "It's okay, I can see you've got your hands full. Relax." Annie unwound a notch. "Sit down. Would you like something to eat? I could make us something." "Aren't you sick of serving food?" She laughed. "It's okay, I don't mind." "Want me to sit in the kitchen so you can function in one room?" She smiled and nodded. I set the small canvas bag I'd brought on the floor near the couch out of sight. Maybe bringing a dildo had been too optimistic. Then again, being caught without one could present its own crisis. I tried to breeze past my anxiety as I followed Annie and Kathy into the kitchen. "Can I help?" I offered. She looked surprised. "Nah, that's okay." Kathy clung to Annie's leg with one arm and clutched a stuffed rabbit with the other. I smiled at Kathy. "Does your rabbit have a fever too?" Kathy looked at the rabbit and then at me without answering. "Later," I told Kathy. "If you think your rabbit has a fever, I'll take its temperature. Is your rabbit a girl or a boy?" Kathy held the rabbit up in the air as though I could determine its sex. "Ah, it's a girl," I surmised. Kathy looked up at her mother. "Go show him your rabbit," Annie urged. Kathy shook her head violently and clung to her mother for protection. "You like macaroni and cheese?" Annie asked. "I hate macaroni and cheese." "That would be great," I answered. Annie served up three plates of sliced ham, macaroni and cheese, corn and white bread. The first plate had small portions with pictures of the Flintstones still visible underneath. "Is that mine?" I asked Kathy. She shook her head and squeezed her bunny tighter. Annie set my plate in front of me and sat down. Kathy held up an empty glass. Annie jumped up to fill it with milk. "Want a beer?" she asked me when the refrigerator door was open. "Sure," I said. "Need a glass?" I shook my head. She smiled. Annie brought two beer bottles to the table and sat back down. We lifted our beers in a toast. Kathy tried to do the same thing. Her glass tipped over, pouring milk all over the table. Annie immediately tried to mop the milk off my plate with her napkin. I jumped up and came back to the sink with a sponge. We got most of it. Annie looked tense. "Your meal's all spoiled." "Nah," I said, "milk's good for you." Kathy seemed ready to cry. She hugged her bunny tighter. I smiled at her. "Sometimes when I drop something, I think everybody's going to be mad at me," I told her. "I'm not mad at you." Kathy narrowed her eyes as she checked me out, just the way her mother did. "Would it make you feel better if I spilled my beer?" I asked her. Kathy smiled and nodded emphatically. "Don't you dare," Annie warned me with a hidden smile. The rest of the dinner went much smoother. After dessert, Kathy thrust her bunny at me. "Take her temperature?" I asked. She nodded. "This wabbit needs to go to bed soon," I told her. "I think she's got a cold." Kathy weighed the information and nodded. "Does your wabbit need a bath first?" I asked. Kathy shook her head from side to side. "Oh yes, she does," Annie laughed and scooped up Kathy in her arms. "I'll clean up," I told Annie. "Take your time." Annie eyed me suspiciously. I was washing the last of the dishes when Annie came up behind me. She grabbed a dish towel off the refrigerator door. I washed the pots and she dried the dishes. It felt good. But the longer Annie dried the dishes, the angrier she seemed to become. "What's up?" I asked her. She threw down the towel and glared at me. "I'm not an easy lay, you know. You guys know a woman with a kid's been fucked before, so you figure you can get whatever you want, right?" I rinsed a sponge under the faucet and walked over to the kitchen table to wipe it off. "I got what I wanted at dinner," I told her. She looked stunned. "What, macaroni and cheese and milk gravy?" We both laughed. "I just wanted to spend some time with you when we're both off duty, you know?" "Why?" She measured me with those keen eyes again. "I like you. I guess I really like tough cookies, and God knows, you are one." She shook her head. "I can't figure you out." "So what?" "So a man you can't figure out is a dangerous man," she told me. She came closer. My body turned towards hers. It was happening. "I'm not dangerous," I promised. "I'm complicated, but I'm not dangerous." "What are you looking for, darling?" Annie ran her fingers lightly through my hair. Oh God, it felt so good. I sighed deeply. "I've been hurt. I'm not looking to get married. I'm not looking to disrespect anyone. I guess I just need some comfort." "That's it," she probed, "like a one-nighter?" I shrugged my shoulders. "I don't know," I told her honestly. Annie weighed my words carefully in the scales of her own need. She turned away from me, but I knew after a moment it was all right to touch her. I kissed the closest cheek. My lips brushed her ear and travelled down her neck. I could hear her breathing changed. She turned and looked at me for a long moment before offering me her mouth. We kissed deeply, but still carefully. Slowly, we began to move against each other. I could feel how she offered her body to a man as a test. I was gentle. I was slow. Gradually, her body became aware that my tempo was slightly behind hers. Her face flushed with heat. She pressed her pelvis against mine and looked at me quizzically. We both knew I didn't have a hard-on. "Mummy," Kathy called from upstairs. Annie looked apologetic. I nodded toward the sound of Kathy's voice. Annie was gone for a few minutes. She came back into the kitchen and filled a plastic Cinderella glass with water. "I'll be right back," she said hoarsely. I remembered the bag I'd left in the other room. Now was definitely the right time to get it. I grabbed the bag and raced into the bathroom. I locked the door and took off my pants and BVDs. The harness and rubber cock fit nicely in my briefs. I pulled my pants back on and checked my wallet for a condom. I heard Annie call my name from the kitchen. I flushed the toilet, ran the tap water for a moment, and came out to meet her. I was out of breath. "What were you doing in there? Running?" she laughed. It would take time to get back the feeling. I ran my fingers through her hair. She closed her eyes and parted her lips. The phone rang. We both laughed. "Forget it," she said. It kept ringing. I pulled her close to me. She pressed her pelvis against mine, and this time she smiled. She pulled back and searched my face with her eyes. I leaned against the sink and waited for her to come back to me. Then she took my hand and led me to her bedroom. Annie was afraid. I knew that was true. What she couldn't know was that I was too. I wanted so much to be in her arms that I was willing to risk exposure and humiliation. She turned on the light in her bedroom as we walked in. A Harley Davidson gas tank hung from the ceiling. "You like bikes?" she asked me. I nodded. I wandered over to the light switch and snapped it off. She stood awkwardly near the bed. I came up behind her and rested my hands on her shoulders. I lifted her hair with one hand and nipped the nape of her neck with my lips. I pressed my pelvis gently against her ass as I pulled her shoulders back so that my mouth could take more of her neck. Annie turned and gently pulled me down on the bed. She trembled. Are you afraid? I asked. Fuck you, she answered with a twisted smile. You've been hurt before, I said to myself out loud. What woman hasn't? She snapped. I rolled over on my back and pulled her against my body. I'd really like to make you feel good, I whispered. If you'd trust me enough to show me what you want. What's your trip, mister? She snorted. Do you want to fuck or not? We can if you want to, I said, or we can do other things. It's up to you. Annie did a double take. What do you mean it's up to me? It's your body. What do you want? I mean, you can show me how you really want to be touched. Or you can act excited and hope I come not too quick but don't take too long, right? Annie shook her head and sat bolt upright. You're scaring me, she said. Because I want you to really be there when I touch you? She nodded. Yeah, exactly. I lay quietly. I don't know if I can, she said. I sat up and took her in my arms. Try, I whispered, and pulled her down on top of me. I rolled Annie over onto her back as I kissed her deep and long. I unbuttoned her blouse with slow, steady fingers and teased her breasts for a long time before I came near them with my fingertips. Then I brushed them, lightly, and felt her body shudder. I took each nipple in my mouth and played with it ever so gently. Somehow she told me with her body where to touch, how to touch, when to touch. As I rubbed the front of her jeans, I could feel her passion building, but she deserved the luxury of wanting it real bad. Then she said something to me I knew took a lot of courage. I've always wanted to come before I fuck. She turned her head away in shame. I kissed the part of her throat she'd left exposed. Anything you want, I told her. She turned her head to look at me. She had tears in her eyes. Anything? She asked. Together we began to undress her. My need, her urgency. I pulled off my chinos and my dress shirt. I was wearing only a white t-shirt and BVDs. My hands ran up her thighs and down the inside crevices. I could feel her heat and wetness through her underwear. I began to work my body down her, using my lips and tongue to create new erogenous zones all over her ribcage and stomach. My fingers took hold of the elastic on her underwear and began to slide it down her thighs as her hands grabbed my ears firmly and stopped me. I looked at her with a question on my face. I'm just getting over my period, she said. I shrugged. So? Emotions played across Annie's face. Disbelief, anger, relief, pleasure. Pleasure was the unmistakable emotion still on her face as I began to tease her thighs with my mouth. She gave in to her own desire and in doing so reached her orgasm with an almost relaxed trust. I held her close to me as her breathing slowed. She ran her fingers through my hair, stroked my back. Her touch felt so good that tears welled up in my eyes and spilled down my cheeks. What's wrong, darling? She asked with concern. I shook my head and buried my face in her shoulder. For the moment, her arms protected me from my own life. My mouth was near her nipple. I felt Annie's breath quicken. She tugged at my t-shirt. Take it off, she insisted. I hesitated. It was dark in the room. I was on top of her, so she couldn't see the two lines across my chest that revealed it had been reshaped. I took off my t-shirt. Annie ran her nails across my shoulders, down my back. I shivered with pleasure. Her nails pressed deeper into my flesh as she moved her pelvis against mine. She was relaxed with me. Until the moment I was above her, ready to enter her. I stroked her thighs until she looked up at me. It's for you, or not at all, I told her. I want you so bad, she whispered hoarsely. We both moaned softly as she said that. I pulled my dildo carefully out of my briefs in the dark, afraid of being discovered. What made me think this could work? I rolled a condom onto my dildo. I don't think I can have any more kids, she told me. I don't want to take any chances, and it's up to me after all, I said. Well, ain't that a switch? She laughed. I pushed the head of my cock gently inside her. She tensed her body. I waited. Then Annie relaxed and her hips began to move, pulling me into her. When I was deep inside of her, I lay on top of her. Our bodies relaxed, fitting into each other. I didn't move until she did. I stroked her just a little slower than her motion demanded. Her body demanded more. I felt her orgasm building long before she came. As she began to come, her hands clawed at my back. Once she pulled my hair so hard I cried out to her. As her orgasm began to ebb, I followed it gently, circles in the broken surface of a pool of water. I searched with her for the next orgasm before the last one had subsided. Together we found it, and later a smaller one. Oh, Jessie. It sounded so pretty, the way she said my name. Her fingertips slid down my back like warm raindrops. I was still rock hard inside of her. We both realised it at once. What's the matter, darling? You stuck? I can't come with a rubber on, I said. Let me take it off and I'll pull out just before I come, I promise. She turned her head away. I've heard that one before. I promise. Trust me. Lord have mercy, those are the four most dangerous words out of a man's mouth. Okay, sweetheart. You're lucky I don't think I can get pregnant again. It's true I faked an ejaculation, but not my pleasure. Annie's body felt so good. She kissed me deep and slow, moved for me, gave me everything a woman can give to a lover, and I was excited. At the moment when it became unbearable for me to go on any longer, I pulled out gently, ground my pelvis against the sheets and cried out. I lay face down on the bed with my head resting on her belly. Her hands played with my hair. Her fingertips ran across my shoulders, arousing the surface of my skin. I wished I could just stay in that moment of time. We lay together without speaking for a while. I have to go to the bathroom, I said. Me too, she laughed. Me first. Still face down, I tucked my dildo into my briefs. I turned away from her, slipped on my t-shirt, and headed to the bathroom in the darkness. I locked the door, pulled my bag out from behind the tub, and replaced my dildo with a sock in my briefs. I looked in the mirror as I splashed cold water on my face. Still me, looking back at me. There was a knock at the bathroom door. I unlocked it. Annie came into my arms and kissed me deeply. She put her hand between my thighs and squeezed the sock. I got a lot of pleasure out of this tonight, she said. It was like magic. My body tensed and she withdrew her hand. I stroked her hair. All magic is illusion, I admitted. The light was on when I returned to the bedroom. I clicked it off. Annie came back and sat down on the edge of the bed. Hungry? She asked me. I pulled her back on top of me and kissed her until I realised I was making promises I couldn't keep. I'm tired, I said, but I want to hold you. Annie came into my arms and nestled against my shoulder. You are one strange man. What do you mean? First of all, I never met a guy who wasn't afraid of a little bit of woman's blood. But you know what's weirdest about you? Every muscle in my body got hard, except the sock. Annie laughed. Relax, baby, I'm not complaining. What really blew me away is that you knew I had to take care of my kid, and you didn't demand my attention till she went to bed. That and the fact that even my ex-husband never did the dishes, and he's the one that dirtied most of them. Annie shook her head. You don't fuck like some guys either. I rolled over on my stomach protectively. She massaged my shoulders. I mean, you take your time, you know? It's like you got a brain in your dick instead of a dick for a brain, you know? We both laughed and rolled around on the bed together. I fell asleep, safe in her arms. The first voice I awoke to was Kathy's. Can I turn on the cartoons? Annie mumbled, go ahead. Shortly afterwards, she kissed me on the ear and got up to make breakfast. While Annie cooked pancakes, Kathy sat on my lap and told me everything she could think of about Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Annie tried to hide her pleasure at us watching together. She's usually scared of men, Annie said when Kathy left the room. You're real good with her. I noticed Annie's body language as she cooked. Something on your mind? I asked. She turned and wiped her hands on her apron. I know this is crazy to ask you. Go ahead, I said. Well, my sister's getting married tomorrow, and well, it's crazy. I mean, it's too short notice, and you didn't commit to nothing last night. Yeah, sure, I said. Annie sat down in the kitchen chair next to mine. You really don't mind? I really don't mind. As long as you understand. She pressed her fingertips against my lips. My heart asks for more sometimes, she said. But my head wants the same thing you do. I nodded. Annie got up and walked to the stove. There's one catch, I added. She didn't turn around, but her entire body clenched like a fist. What? She said over her shoulder. We have to go on my Harley. It's the only wheels I got. Annie took off her apron, threw it in the sink, came over and sat on my lap. She kissed my mouth so sweetly. 9 o'clock, she said, not a minute later. I got near her place at 8:30, actually. I turned off the engine a block away and rolled it in front of the house so that I wouldn't wake the whole neighbourhood. I sat on her porch smoking a cigarette until I heard her door open and Annie said, "You coming in or not?" She looked me up and down appreciatively. "You look real handsome, darling." My blush visibly delighted her. I gotta finish getting dressed. I made coffee, she called out from the bedroom. I'll get it, I yelled back. You want some? She came to the door of her bedroom, holding the back of her dress together. Yeah, she smiled. Help me zip up my dress first. She looked back at me over her shoulder as I did. I kissed the side of her face. Her hair was swept up and held in place with bobby pins. I kissed the base of her neck. You keep that up and I'll never get ready, darling. She pulled away from me. I made 2 cups of coffee and brought them to her bedroom door. The door was ajar, but I knocked on the doorframe. Your coffee's out here. When she came out moments later, I sucked in my breath and let it out slowly. She smoothed her dress. How do I look? I sighed, like I died and went to heaven. She made a face and lifted her arms to wrap them around my neck, but I pulled back and handed her an orchid corsage I bought the night before. She blinked back tears. Then she sounded angry. What are you going to do that for? She scolded. I smiled at the powerful woman who stood before me. Her face softened and she smiled back. Where's Kathy? I asked her. She scowled. With Francis from the restaurant. My ex-husband might be skulking around the wedding. I didn't understand, but I let it drop. The wedding was a formal church affair. I'd never been to a wedding before. Everyone in the audience looked so teary-eyed and melted by the ceremony. Annie's sister, honestly, had to promise to obey this guy for the rest of her life before the priest would proclaim the two married. I thought it was kind of feudal. The reception was held outdoors. There were tables and chairs set up all over the lawn. Drinks and food were served under a huge striped tent. Annie introduced me to all the people who had travelled up to Buffalo for the wedding. She stayed on my arm the whole time. I met Cousin Wilma. She flashed an evil smile. How wonderful it was for you to agree to come with Annie today. Annie squeezed my arm like a tourniquet. It's my pleasure. I put my hand on Annie's hand, which was cutting off the circulation in my arm. Without taking my eyes off Annie's, I told Wilma, "It isn't every day that a woman as strong and beautiful as Annie will give me the time of day." Wilma turned on her heel, and Annie chuckled into my shoulder. "Get us a bottle of champagne," she said. I did. "How many glasses, sir?" the bartender asked me. "One." I picked up a small bottle of club soda. "Can I have this?" the bartender nodded. "What's that for?" Annie wanted to know. "Hell, someone's got to drive us home." She kissed me so tenderly right then and there under the tent that not a man or woman within eyesight didn't stare wistfully. Annie and I found a shady place under a tree where we could watch all the goings on. She kicked off her shoes. I put my suit jacket down for her to sit on. Annie shook her head. "Your mama sure taught her little boy some manners." She gave me the lowdown on all her folks. Who was the closet drunk, who beat or cheated on their wife, and who was giving it to the milkman. "That fag," she said contemptuously. I was stunned at the hatred in her eyes. She was glaring at a man in his early 50s. His arm was around the shoulder of one of the many aunts who roamed this reception. "Who let that queer in here?" Annie hissed. "Is he really gay?" I asked her. "You bet. Probably fucking all the children in the family." "Jeez, Annie." My blood ran cold. "How can you hate somebody just because of who they love?" She looked at me with shock. "You like faggots?" I shrugged. "We aren't all the same, Annie. So what?" She shook her head and spat on the ground. I wouldn't let a faggot near my daughter. I thought before I spoke. "Annie, if anybody was going to fuck with Kathy, it would probably be a straight guy, not a gay man." "Yeah?" she yelled. Annie stood up and gripped the champagne bottle tightly at her side. "Well, I ain't letting no funny men around my daughter. I left my own husband because I caught him molesting Kathy. I tried to kill the man with my bare hands. No fucking fags are coming near my girl. You understand?" I did understand that this conversation could go no further. Annie kicked up some dirt and grass with her pumps and then sat down again. Ah, shit, what are we wasting our time talking about queers for anyway? I couldn't wait till we left the reception. Annie rode with her arms around my neck and her face against my back. By the time we got home, both her shoes were gone and the exhaust pipe had burned a hole in her dress. "Pay it no mind," Annie said. She was drunk. When we got to the porch, she threw her arms around me. "You coming in, darling?" "Nah," I said. "I gotta get ready for work in the morning." She looked down at her stockinged feet and back up to my face. "I ain't gonna see you again, am I?" she asked. I looked down at my shoes. "I don't think so." She nodded. "Why not?" It hurt my heart the way she asked it. "I'm afraid I'd fall in love with you," I said. It was partly true, but it sure didn't tell the whole story. It's one thing for a magician to reveal the art of illusion. It's another thing to tell a straight woman that the man she slept with is a woman. That's not what Annie agreed to get into. Sooner or later it was going to blow up. And after this afternoon, I had even more reason to fear the explosion. "What's wrong with falling in love? What's the matter with you guys anyway?" she slurred. "I've been hurt, Annie. I need time." "Shit, I thought you were different. You ain't any different from any other guy who stands up to pee." "Well," I shrugged, "maybe just a little different." "You tell that woman who hurt you, I'm gonna come after her and rip her to shreds. She spoiled it for the rest of us." Annie's smile faded. "Ain't no use us standing out here talking, is it? You best be going." I nodded. We looked at each other for a long moment. I took the keys from her hand and unlocked the front door. I kissed her lightly on the mouth. "Hey, thanks for what you said to Wilma back there." I meant every word of it. She looked me straight in the eye. "Thanks for everything, darling. I smiled and turned to go. She stood on the porch and watched me kickstart my bike. "Hey," she yelled over the roar of the engine. "What?" I cut my hand near to my ear to hear. "The wabbit." "What? Kathy's wabbit?" I nodded and strained to hear what she was repeating. "Kathy's wabbit isn't a girl. It's a boy."